Good morning. Welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN. And today, for the next hour, we're going to be talking Riley County Historical Museum. It is the third Monday of October. And joining us in studio today is Alana Parker, Curator of Design. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
Oh, gosh. Hard to believe it's past mid-October already. Yeah. The days are just flying by.
It certainly is. And when we get into this time of year, the weather's changing. We've seen the leaves starting to fall, and we're gearing up for Halloween.
Yes. Well, that's a love driving around Manhattan around this time of year, especially on points. There's some of those beautiful trees that just look, they've got the orange and the bright reds, and they're just beautiful. We just have a beautiful community here. So love this time of year. Definitely not missing the 100-degree temperatures either.
I agree with you on that. Like, someone was looking at me goofy the other day. I said, I'm so glad, because a week ago we had like 95 degrees on a Saturday, and like, I'm so glad that went away.
Yes. Well, and that was the Saturday, the Riley Fall Festival went up to Riley for that, for their 150th plus one. And when I thought it was going to be 95, I thought, my gosh, for this time of year, you don't want to be running around a festival when it's that warm out. But it actually turned out okay when it's overcast, and it was actually pretty nice. And so that's kind of a plug, too. If anybody hasn't been up to Riley, they've just got a great community there. Library, restaurants, lots of fun things to do up there, and lots of history, too.
Was Riley, I'm curious, I don't know the answer to this, but was that the original county seat here, or was it somewhere else?
Well, why they named it Riley, so Manhattan, there was a kind of a contest with the county seat, and I believe it was actually Ogden and out there first, but why they called it Riley, and before it was named Riley, it was called Union. There was already a community named Union in Kansas, so they had to scrap that. And so then they decided on Riley Center, since the post office there in the town of Riley Center was in the center of Riley County. And then they just dropped it, combined the plats, and named it Riley. So that's why Riley is named what it is.
Okay.
Riley Center.
Riley Center. I still see that on some maps, I think. Like,
yes.
Some of the older maps.
Uh-huh. And like I said, before that was Union. So they had the three different town sites or town plats that they combined and got Riley, because it's in the center of Riley.
Okay. Well, that's pretty neat. And I don't know if other counties have – there are some counties that have cities with the same name as the county. I don't think there's one in Pottawatomie. There might be a township of Pottawatomie, but I don't know if there's a city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm trying to think of what other – I'm sure there are several, though. But when you have those towns, if they've already got the name – for Ogden, for instance, it was Ogdenburg. So we have a couple artifacts that have Ogdensburg on it, because that was the depot name, except there's an Ogdensburg, Utah. So they had to drop the Berg, and that's how we got Ogden.
Okay.
And also named for Major Ogden, who was out at Fort Riley. So, but this is kind of funny. Those little, where the names come from, is kind of fun.
Yeah. Well, there's an Ogden, Utah as well. I mean, maybe, I don't know if that they also dropped the Berg, or if maybe there's an Ogdenburg also.
Right. Well, I think, yeah, they might have done that too, because yes, it is Ogden, Utah.
Okay. That's fun. I always think it's fun to see where names come from. That's a neat part of the history.
Yes. Well, like the street names. That's I always love listening to Cheryl talk about street names, and when we spoke about that. And she has some great ideas for ones in the future. So we've got that list at the museum, and she always has had great ideas.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's pretty cool. We're going to be talking a lot today about Halloween and traditions and things like that.
Yes, so that's, like I said, hard to believe it's October 18th. It is the 18th, right?
It is,
October,
yes.
18th. The Halloween's right around the corner here. And I think you and I were talking, it's such a fun holiday, different costumes and what you wore growing up, if your Halloween choice, costume choice. And we're talking about Ninja Turtle costumes.
Yes.
I know I was that at least twice, so.
Yeah, I think I was at least once or twice. I was... I think it was Raphael.
Leonardo,
okay. My favorite turtle is actually Donatello, but...
Okay. But see, we're of that age, that generation, where that was the popular thing was Ninja Turtles. I think they were kind of making a comeback, too, so...
Dave might have been something like He-Man or something.
No. We made our own costumes.
You did?
Yeah, because, you know, back then there just wasn't a whole lot to choose from. I did go as Lynn Dawson. I did have a little... number 16 Chiefs little uniform there for a while.
That's cool.
But most of the time I dressed up as a hobo.
That's my dad. He said, I don't know how many times. So my grandmother dressed him up as a hobo. That was the costume of choice. But he also had five siblings too. So
Yeah, it wasn't that big of a deal. And trick-or-treating for us was just like, well, who's going to come to the house? You know, I lived out on the farm, you know, and we'd have half a dozen, 10 maybe at most, that would stop by. And we would always have two things that we would give to Halloween customers. And they were popcorn balls and peanut brittle.
Oh, gosh.
Those things don't get served up at Halloween anymore.
No, they don't.
Everything's prepackaged, of course, you know, safety considerations, right, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
But it's when you find the house that gives out the king-size candy bars. That's the one you like to
Those
really
Those did not exist
to.
Then. But we had real sugar.
Always important part of Halloween. Well, that's what's a lot of fun. Where we live, we're kind of out in the country a little bit, so the houses are spread out. So what they'll do is just load up a flatbed trailer. And there are probably 40 kids on this trailer. Well, we're the first house in the little area we live in. So we always prepare that we're going to have 40 kids at any moment come running up to the door. And so it's just a continual stream of kids, 40 of them running up in all their costumes. And then we're done for the night, pretty much.
Is that like a hayrack ride? Is that
kind
pretty
of
much?
Yeah, they just go around the neighborhood. But you're done with trick-or-treaters in about 5 minutes.
I kind of like that idea.
I do, too.
Okay, at 6:15, we're going to be over at the Caldwell residence.
Yep. And we do try to give out the good stuff. So.
Oh, do you? What was the good stuff?
Well, the king-size candy bars. Well, we get them on sale. But for 40 kids, that kind of adds up. So we might have to back off.
What's your favorite of the Halloween ones to keep?
Oh, for myself?
The candies. For yourself.
Oh.
Because I don't care what the kids end up getting. It's what what the kid won't eat that I will.
That's true. That's why there's never any leftovers, because we usually have those polished off by the end of the night. But you know those Sour Patch Kids?
Ugh. You know, it's kind of funny because I never got into those, but I love the Tartan Tinies.
Okay.
Sweet Tarts. I love those. Smarties.
Yes. Those are good, too. I mean, we're getting those.
You know, just go ahead and just put sugar in any kind of little form and call it good.
Yep.
Put a little color in it.
And the parents have you to thank for that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we do.
So, yes, but it's a fun time of year, and with fall setting in and talking about some of those Halloween traditions that we've had in our history here. And, of course, also we've got a beautiful cemetery, Sunset Cemetery, Sunrise Cemetery. So at the museum this time of year, we do cemetery tours, which is a lot of fun. So if anybody's part of an organization or you'd like a cemetery tour, we do provide those as well through the museum.
Now, that's kind of cool. And, you know, cemeteries are they can be spooky sometimes, but they do have a lot of history in the community. And I imagine you have some notable folks who are buried in Sunset Cemetery.
Absolutely. Tiger Woods' father, Earl Woods, he is in Sunset Cemetery. Some of the earliest ones, though, is Juliet Lovejoy Whitehorn. Is one of the first interments that we believe was in Sunset Cemetery. So Juliet Avenue, and I believe Cheryl spoke about this when talking about the history of Manhattan streets. Juliet Avenue, we believe it might have come from Juliet Whitehorn, Lovejoy Whitehorn. And the story with her, though, so when you go into the cemetery, she has the large obelisk that's right there on the left. You can't miss it when you come into the cemetery. And it wasn't added until later, because after she passed away, it was believed that the gentleman who was supposed to inscribe her name on the stone was a drunkard and never got around to it. So her parents actually came back to Manhattan after they left to make sure that her name was inscribed on that obelisk headstone there for her. But the cemetery, I have a couple of cemetery facts here.
Okay.
And kind of interesting. So it was 1860 when Manhattan acquired the 35 acres of land for use as the cemetery. And in 1862, bids were advertised by the city of Manhattan for a stone fence 2 feet wide at the bottom, 15 inches at the top, so about 4.5 feet high. This project never really got going until later, and the purpose for this fencing around the cemetery was primarily to keep the livestock out. They were having trouble with the cattle getting in the cemetery, knocking over and damaging the headstones, so that's why they had this project to put a wall around the cemetery, which wasn't built until 1869. But the wall that you see today, that was actually a WPA project that was built in 1932-1934, and that was by a man named Charles Howell. And if the name Howell sounds familiar, his sister was Minnie Howell Champ, who was the first female African-American graduate from Kansas State Agricultural College. So really fun connections there, but he was a prominent stonemason in the area, and he's responsible for the wall and the gate at Sunset Cemetery.
Wow. That's pretty cool. We have a phone call here. Someone's wanting to participate, so let's go to the phones. Good morning.
If you get out by the Veterans Cemetery towards Ogden, there's stories about the angry old guy that is mourning by his wife's gravestone. It's the general from who died at Gettysburg, who didn't get home or got home after his wife had died. There's some kind of a story about that. And the workers out there say that people will come into the office and complain about that old guy, that angry old guy out by the stone that is so upset about missing his wife, that she had died. There's a lot of spirit stories like that around. Thank you.
Oh, interesting. Gosh, and that's one I'll have to get out to see, too. It's been a while since I've been out by the Ogden Cemetery. Very interesting.
Yeah, no kidding. Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back. We'll talk more about the cemetery and much more here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN.